the second one. Levitt's been winning some. Huh?
Each Shabbat should go in, right? There's one or two others, though, that should go in. Part of the Shabbat.
Birchas HaTorah.
I just can't.
And on the Pilas Yadayim we said.
No
Bar Shamar, no Ishtabach, and probably not Birchos HaShachar either. So what else would there be? I can't think of anything else. No? I can't think of anything else right now. It could be I'm missing something, but right now I can't think of anything.
But there is something longer
now. Could be. Right now, offhand, I don't remember. If it's short, because David's been waiting. So maybe we'll get... But
if you're waiting for me.
Go ahead, David.
First, I thought it was only if you're totally honest and you dive in from your dad. If you're walking to shul and you get there in time for shkia.
No.
If you're up one night drinking and now it's shakir, you do it your mitzvahs.
So the question was asked, when can a person repeat the prayer? So the rule is, unless he was completely negligent, he can repeat it. Meaning, if a person was just sitting around saying, I guess it's time to daven shacharis. Now I don't feel like it. Oh, yeah, time is going to pass. I don't feel like it. Then he can't double up. But so long as he has some kind of excuse, I didn't think I'd miss the time. I was on a ride. I didn't notice. So long as he has some kind of excuse, almost any excuse is acceptable to double up. And it might not be acceptable in heaven. It might be upsetting for what he did. But in order to entitle him to double up, we say that he has to be a complete posheya. He has to be completely negligent in order for him to not be able to double up.
I don't follow up with it. Real quick, yeah. About like if you're in a meeting, for like pronouncement and all that stuff, like, but you could miss the meeting, but you really don't want to miss the meeting.
You can't go to the bathroom and say a quick Shmon Esrei. There's a quick Shmon Esrei in the Sidurim, which you could say in under 60 seconds. There's a quick version of Shmon Esrei, where you say the first three blessings, Havinenu, a blessing that summarizes all the middle, and the last three. Or just say the first few words and the last few words of each blessing. So usually you can get out for 2 minutes and just stand in the hallway and do it. Usually that you should be able to do. And then at least you did that, like the beginning, the end of each blessing. Person should try to do that. Worst comes to worst, if he did that, so it was wrong of him to do that, but he could double up. He could. But it's not a lechatchila. It's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going up to the Temple of Mammoth, the rabbi, there is most of the rabbis today say that it's forbidden to go to the rabbi with blood, and someone that goes up
is what?
Is Chayav Karet. And there is other rabbis who are Goren.
Give me 1 second. Guys, do you want to call it a night?
Laila
Tov, Tzatzchen Shalom. We'd love to see you tomorrow if it works for you. It looks like there's an in Shabbos here, the Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
Yes, right. Yeah, so I didn't get to ask my wife. I wish we could do something to see you guys over Shabbos. We'll see. We shall see. Are there any customers for Shabbos morning learning? Waking up at 6 o'clock and coming to learn? Well, you wake up at 6 and you daven, and then we learn at 8.
What time is 8 tomorrow?
Nate's somewhere around 6. 5 to 6, 6. That's the Nate. The minion starts at 5:15.
The ones that we take to sleep
early. Is there a minion at
5:15? Sure.
Here?
Here? No. Next door.
Oh, next door. Yeah, I'm going to go to the minion.
Okay. Say this. So we won't have wait. There are years that there are guys who like to daven early and then they come
to
us. Okay, if you'll want to, let me know. Okay, yeah.
So most rabbis today seem posting seem to say it's forbidden to go bichlal up to Harabai, and someone that goes up is Chayel Karet.
Okay.
And then you have Rav Goren and I know rabbis like Rav Dov Lior, who say that we know specifically the areas that are allowed according to Halacha, and that they have got proofs, and the people go only there, only to that limited area. And I've heard from other rabbis that Bichlal hold that it's completely asur and everybody's going up there is Chayel Karet, completely forbidden, there's no legitimacy for it. So, what is going on? Because it's a very strong argument.
So the question was asked about going up to the Temple Mount. We'll try to get a quick overview of the discussion, and we will not reach Halacha L'maaseh. our conclusion, I'm telling you the onset, is going to be that every person has to consult with his local Orthodox rabbi and make sure he really knows what he's doing when he goes up there. We are prohibited from going into the Holy of Holies, right? There's a basic question about whether the Temple Mount maintained its holiness ever since the destruction of the Temple and the destruction of the land of Israel. So that's a basic machlokes, whether Kitchel Hashem and Kitchel Asid Lovo, whether the Temple Mount has holiness for future generations. Kidsha, was it given holiness, Lashata, for its time, Vilatid Lavon, for future generations as well. That's a Gemara in Shavuos, it's a Gemara in many places, in Megillah, in many places. So, that's question number one. Machlokes, Rambam, Raya. We generally say that there is holiness. They say there's holiness to the land of Israel, there's Truma, Meiser, Shemitah, and we say there's holiness to the Temple Mount. Now, even though there's holiness, technically, if we would know exactly where the Holy of Holies is, and where the section for Kohanim, and where the section for Israelites, and where the section outside of all that is, so then there are places on the Temple Mount where one could go. Now, even though we're all Tamei Mit, we don't have a Parah Aduma, we don't have a red heifer, but for Tumas Meis, a person who's Tamei Mit may go up to a certain point on the Temple Mount. But there are other Tumot that are prohibited from going up there. One is Tumat Ziva. There's a Tumah of a flow that's similar to the menstrual flow from a woman, and a flow that's similar to a seminal discharge from a man, not exactly the same thing, that makes a person defiled, and with that defilement, Zav. Zav literally means a flow. With that defilement, one may not go up. Do we know exactly what a Zav is? No. Should we be concerned that most of us might be or might not be, or maybe just when a person went to the bathroom, some came out? So that's a discussion about whether we have to be concerned about that. So those who go up to the Temple Mount go to a mikveh, a special mikveh that's connected to a body of water, to a stream, to Mayan, which is what a Zav needs. And then, right after they go into the mikveh, and in order to go to that mikveh, you have to cleanse yourself the way a woman does in preparing for the mikveh, which is like a half hour cleaning process. If you know how to do that correctly, including cleaning the nails and the hair and every part of the body, well, before you go to that mikveh, because this is a Tevila Doraisa, so then there are those that claim that you can go up to the Temple Mount, because we know, at least we know certain areas on the Temple Mount that are for sure outside of the perimeters of what is prohibited. So that is the claim of some rabbis. Some rabbis say that people should could go up there, and if they could, then they should. Because if you could, and you do, then by going up there, you are helping ensure that it remains within Jewish sovereignty. So that is the claim for going up there. I don't want to go into who holds what. Let's leave it blank for now. There are rabbis that hold that we don't know where is permitted and where is prohibited. There are different opinions. We don't have a clear picture of exactly what is the Western Wall. Is it this wall or that wall? When we look at the history of the temple, there are all kinds of questions that we have unanswered as to the geography, the geographical location of things up on the Temple Mount. And as such, some rabbis say, don't go near there. Those rabbis think they know exactly which places are not, according to any opinion, a part of the prohibited area. Well, maybe they're right and maybe they're wrong. Why risk it? So that's one claim not to go up there. That's a very powerful claim. Remember, going into the places that are prohibited is a prohibition of karet. It's a prohibition like desecrating Shabbos. It's a prohibition that the Torah says it's like eating chazir or meat with milk. It's a prohibition. It's a very hefty prohibition. If a person gets it wrong, so we're playing with fire up there. So that's one claim, and then there are other claims that include Rav Avram Shapiro, Zatzal, the chief rabbi of Israel, said that the custom in Jerusalem always was that you don't go there, even in the places where you think. He said they even had a time where Jewish herd went to that side of the mountain, to the lower side of the mountain, and the Jews wouldn't go there to collect their own cattle, even though it's the lower side of the mountain. That whole area they didn't touch. The custom in Jerusalem, and he knows the custom from 70, 100 years ago, And he said that the custom was that you don't go near there. You don't go. So now you have a problem, even if you claim that there's no, that you know where the locations are, but you'll be careful not to go there. You have a custom that you have a rabbi that claims, a big rabbi who knows the tradition. He's a seventh generation Yerushalmi, and he claims that the tradition is, the custom is, that we don't go there. So that's problem number one. And problem number two is that there are also rabbis that say that you're not allowed to go up there, because even if you'll know exactly where to go, what about your tour guide and what about the next guy? And if you went to mikveh, what about the guy that's going with you? Did he go to mikveh? Does he know he has to go to mikveh? I mean, I had a guy came to me on the day of his wedding, and he asked me to get him into Rabbi Shapiro. So I brought him, I was learning the yeshiva then, and I brought him, and Rabbi Shapiro asked him, where you been? Why are you up so early? So the guy said, well, I went to the Temple Mount this morning on the day of my wedding. So Rabbi Shapiro turned to Ash and he said, you did what? He said, on the day of my wedding, I wanted to go daven in the holiest place on earth. So Rabbi Shapiro didn't want to tell him anything. It was the day of his wedding. But I could see from the look on his face that he was very displeased. Did this guy go to mikveh before him? I don't know. I didn't want to make him feel bad on his wedding day. I didn't ask him. Did he know what he was supposed to do and where he could and could not go? I don't know. So people, once you open the gates, sometimes you don't have control what happens. And sometimes it's the responsibility of the rabbis to say, wait a second, don't let people go right near the fence where they'll get electrocuted. Hold them back, 10 steps behind them. So that's a calculation which only the great leaders of the generation can make. What's a correct attitude and an incorrect attitude, because it's something that pertains to the nation. It's not only a private question of what am I going to do, it's a question of how do we guide the nation, how they should behave. So after we discuss the question, maybe it's completely prohibited. And we discuss the question, maybe there's a custom to prohibit it. We also have to discuss the question, even if it's permitted from the first two reasons, even if one were to hold that, then we have the third question of, well, this needs the guidance of the leaders of the generation. And to the best of my knowledge, I haven't heard that the leaders of the generation have said to go there. Whoever you'll quote me, what I know is that there's a very big rabbi who I went to his shiurim, and he thought that Jews should go up there, and he called for a meeting, and all the rabbis refused to come to the meeting. And he called for a meeting with Rabbi Elio and Rabbi Shapiro Zatzal and other rabbis who are leading at least a specific community, and those rabbis didn't even show up to the meeting. They didn't agree that this should... What? They didn't agree with, they knew his goal at the meeting was going to be to push that agenda. And they didn't agree with it.
How much do we lose by completely laying our hands?
So that's the call of a leader. It's not the call of us. That's why rabbis are supposed to lead the Jewish people. And I haven't seen someone of that stature, someone who's on the level that they're considered leading the Jewish people, haven't seen them say to go up there. So every person can ask their local Orthodox rabbi. I would be very, very cautious about going up there. I would not recommend it. And it's not a question for me to call the Shana, meaning I'm not big enough to express an opinion, but I can only tell you the way I would view it if we're discussing it. Now, I'm not up to the times. I don't know what every rabbi says at every minute. I don't know. But from what I've heard thus far, that's the impression I get of where things are holding now. Whether the rabbis hold it's biblically prohibited, rabbinically prohibited, prohibited because of a custom, or prohibited as a guidance for the people, I don't know.
What is the basis for saying that they don't know the exact measurements? I mean, there's a lot of archaeological evidence about where the...
That's another question.
They say the state really... far away from where the actual. But the question is, how do you approach that? Because I read a certain article by Ralph Lavinger, and he was extremely, his language was, like, he didn't give any legitimacy to that opinion.
To the opinion about going or not
going? About going up.
Okay.
With extremely sharp language. And with such issues, you're troubled, because then, like, with such language, you don't, and you know that there's. There have been other big rabbis that said to go, so why in specific issues is there such a...
That's another question. Wait. One thing at a time. Guys, do you have other questions? So I feel like guys are falling asleep. Maybe it's better to call it a night.
I do have a question.
One second. Matityahu hasn't gotten to ask any questions tonight.
I just had a comment about that discussion. I was going to say it might be a custom because there's an out of control that didn't allow Jews to go. You were fussing for them, but you didn't have a Jewish custom.
Right, but you're talking about 70, 90 years ago. You're not talking about just when... then it was still in the Ottoman rule, right. So he was talking about a time when they could. So I don't know when he was talking about. He was talking about a time when they could. I don't know. Yeah, David. Sorry, David. We'll get to you. He's been waiting for a long time. Yeah.
Grapes or wine, and in Makir, in Keres Hefker, Erev Pesach, in Jubir Shri, Erev Pesach, what's the ruling on that produce, on the powers of wine?
Everyone will have to ask the local
rabbi.
So then we could discuss it one on one. I don't want to discuss that publicly.
Well, could you talk like a friend or something?
What?
Maybe
you tell
like a friend or...
I wouldn't say anything. What? No. I this is a subject which there are variant opinions about how stringent one has to be. And the rabbi has to know who he's talking about to know which opinion to quote. It's not a question that I could give you a global answer. Do X or Y or Z. Yes, there's a... There are answers. Each case has to be taken on a per case basis.
Okay, how long does Shkia last for?
Okay, good question.
Rabbi Yosef said 13 and a half minutes. How long does different opinions?
There are different opinions. How broad of an answer do you want?
Not broad at all.
Not broad at all. So it depends on with regard to what.
No,
it depends with regard to what. Davening mincha. Biblical issues, rabbinic issues. Davening mincha. I can't answer. Sorry, no, because the response was written in Chutzlarts, and the sunset in Israel is different than the sunset in Chutzlarts. Totally different sun. I'm not familiar with what the response in Israel says as far as davening mincha. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And go to America and see a sunset. Go to Israel and see a sunset.
Why are they different?
In America, you sit because of where they're located on the planet. In America, people sit down and watch the sunset. In Israel, if you want to watch the sunset, you could stand because it'll pass in about 3 minutes. It's a totally different sunset. So I'm not sure what the ruling would be here. I don't know. Sorry.
If you're American, so
yeah, just a second. David, what else?
What is the turn of business mind? I'm not actually a kind of scientist and physicist, say physics, and I heard a certain guy that said we're talking about electricity and electrons. I also heard a rabbi here that said there's an opinion when it comes to electricity today, say using a computer, using a phone. It's not really using it. It's using electricity, but it's not really. The fact is that, it's the same as turning on, like a faucet of water. When you using computer, it's the same as turning on like a faucet of water or even watching. It's using electrons. And have you heard this opinion?
There is a discussion in Halacha how much electricity needs to be used for it to constitute use of electricity. Meaning there is a response of Rabbi Avadia Yosef that discusses how much electricity has to be present for it to really be considered that you're using electricity.
Yeah.
But we generally assume on Shabbos that you're talking about Shabbos, right?
Shabbos,
right. So we generally assume halacha lemaisa, what you see all around you, is that we assume you don't use any electricity on Shabbos.
Yeah, and I learned because of this. Someone once told me, and I'll just turn up, the reason why they're banned electricity on Shabbos to take away from the Shabbos.
Well, Chazanish says it's three biblical prohibitions. Others say it's one, others say it's two. A little difficult to make a biblical prohibition out of one, two, or three. one, two, or three biblical prohibitions out of something just for the character. That's a more complex decision. That's not exactly the same thing. One second, we'll get that in a second. Yeah, ma'am.
You know, the polyester shirt in the sun is the same as using electricity. They turn on TV.
It's the same. Not at all. We're mixing a whole bunch of different forms of electricity. You said foam, you said shirt, you said there's a lot to discuss. We have to discern between incandescent. There's a lot. Closing a circuit, not closing circuit, because you know you just covered a span of different forms of electricity and different forms of prohibitions and shamans. We have to discuss each one on a per case basis. But if you want, maybe we'll do that in a minute. Yeah. Matidiao.
Okay, so most electricity comes from actual burning of fuels, fossil fuels. And basically, by using electricity, turning on a switch, you're effectively just fueling the fire, or you're causing more fire to be produced to cause electricity to move the electrons down the line all the way to what we're using.
I don't think we go that far. That I don't think is the issue. I don't think that if there's a direct correlation between the electricity you use and the coal that's burning. I don't think so. I don't think so.
There is no.
I don't think that that's the issue.
No, it doesn't manifest down the line.
No.
Dinosaurs were killed.
You have elevation.
If you have a
10 mile long wire.
No.
Every electron you put in
there. You're going to be using fossil fuels here and producing electrons. Whether or not it gets used here or here or here does not affect the burning of the fossil fuel. The rate of destruction of carbon stuff to be able to collect those.
No. That changes the dynamic of how it's being used, though. So like if you have a box around a big fire, and you take away the box, so all of a sudden the fire has more oxygen and it can burn. That's basically you're doing the same thing. You're causing the generators not to generate.
No, if you're talking about they don't at the nuclear power plant, they don't say, oh no, we got more demand, better drop some more.
They take the rods out, let it run.
It's not an instantaneous reaction.
But it does change it during Shabbat. You are changing the whole dynamic.
There's not a response on the same level. It's not a response here to there. When the East Coast blackout happened, what they lived to have done was to say, it's very hot today. Everyone is going to get home and turn on their air conditioner. 4 hours beforehand, before everyone gets out of work, we need to create more electricity. Had they tried to make more electricity the moment that the demand, when 75 million people come home and turn on their air conditioners, it's already too late to make more electricity. That's what I'm saying. You agree with what I just said, correct? Once those 75 million people go like this, even before they touch the switch, right here, it is already too late to create more electricity.
Electricity works at the speed of light. I mean, like, this is a
But the nuclear power plant doesn't. No power plant works at the speed of light.
If you can shut down a power grid and a power plant, if you can shut down a power plant during a time span of 4 hours, that's during Shabbat. And if everybody turns on their electricity and shuts down a whole power plant, that's effectively breaking Shabbat on the national level.
If we had a blackout because everyone used
a blackout, meaning that everything that causes fire, not anything that's missing.
It's
extinguish the fire. You just extinguish the whole thing. I mean, the whole country at the same time. The whole power.
There's a lot to discuss here. Let's give it three more minutes, because I really think guys should get to bigs. I don't want guys at 1 o'clock minute or 1,000.
So
since
the big
topic,
since
it's
a bit off topic, but regarding to what he has said about Kalahi times, regarding Shtia, just a question regarding that.
Okay, let's do quick questions now.
Quick question. Okay, we let's start discussing, and something I want to ask for a long time is regarding Chabad. The Chabad custom of saying Shachrit after Chatzot. And he tells me that's the Minha.
And it's a very trippy
and Mincha after Shkia. And right, so Shachrit, Shachrit,
and Rabbis here from
till Shkia, and I was scandalized. I just never heard the proper response to that. It's kind of a very troubling.
I don't know the answer. Sorry. Don't know. He's saying there's an answer, so find out which rabbi does know and let me know. Not saying it doesn't exist, I'm saying I don't know. I'll be happy to hear what he's saying is the answer, and I'd be happy to read it and learn it too. I don't know. Yeah, David.
Okay, I have a very easy, quick question, and the second one, I just want the first couple minutes of the answer. I know it's a tough one. First one, you go bathroom, wash your hands, walk through a doorway past the mezuzah, and then say Asher Yetzar. Do you kiss the mezuzah on the way through?
If your hands are dry, yeah.
Tough question. I only want a little bit of the answer, for the beginning of the answer. Why did the Jews not stay in Israel when they went back to bury Jacob?
Paro sent along soldiers to ensure that they come back, and Paro didn't let them. Paro sent along an army with them to ensure. Paro sent an Egyptian army along to ensure they'd come back. Paro insisted that they leave their wives, children, and cattle in Egypt when they go to Bir Yaakov. And according to some of the commentaries, there was also the tribes of Canaan gathered in preparation to attack the Jews. There's even Josephus, I think, it says that there was a war that took place. Here you got a quick answer. But the best answer is really that Paro insisted he had his soldiers go along. It says in the Pasuk that there were soldiers going along, and Chazal say they were there to ensure they come back, and Paro also only let them go on condition that they leave their wives and kids and cattle behind, so they couldn't exactly leave them all in Egypt. That's what it says. That's why, according to some, that's the meaning of the Medrash, that their eyes were darkened when Yaakov died, because suddenly they saw they weren't free men. Suddenly Paro was telling them, you don't take your wives and kids when you leave. Suddenly they realized they weren't free to go as they pleased. That's according to some, that's the explanation of the Medrash, that their eyes all darken. Suddenly they realize then they're not free.
This is when Yaakov died.
Right.
When Yosef was still alive.
Right. Why it still says that Parshas Vayechi is a stuma, is a sealed parsha. There's no pause. Usually there's a break on the cloth. There's no break because when Yaakov died, their eyes became darkened from the up and coming sheep. Rashi says it. So some explain what that's saying.
But then how come, but why were they able to say, oh, we'll be back? Weren't they lying? Or you can lie to Pharaoh?
That's a good question. There are multiple answers to that. One answer is that God said, I want Pharaoh to come chasing after them. So God said, tell them that you'll be back so that Pharaoh will come chasing. That's one answer. God said, he kept lying, he kept saying, I'll let them go, I'll let them go, I'll let them go. He was unfair to them. So when it's time to pay him back, we'll do it in a way that's seemingly mida keneged mida, that I pay an eye for an eye. He kept telling them, oh, you guys just come work today, tomorrow I'll let you free, tomorrow. So God said, okay, when it comes time to pay him back, I'll tell him, I'm just paying them for a day. Tomorrow they'll be back. That's one possible answer. But there are a few answers given by the Rishon. You have a quick question, David?
Yes.
I'm with you.
Far away. I saw from Rabbi Yosef, and he said that you shouldn't be. I noticed that before you said bracha for the coming to Omer, you were saying people were saying you shouldn't be good, and they're reading where it says the mitzvah and the Torah. You should count 7 weeks. a mitzvah d'oraita. You should say this is a mitzvah asei d'oraita, because it's not a mitzvah d'oraita. And you could be transgressing the adding an equivalent to when Rambam says that somebody says that you're mixing chicken and milk, that's it's like mixing milk and meat, that's adding to a mitzvah, which is Father Steve. So also coming Omer is not d'oraita. And to say before the bracha that Mr. Dereita and Mr. Asay, the Shem Yehud, shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't read the quote from the Torah. Do you say the Shem Yehud? Do you read the?
I never said the Shem Yehud.
It's not your Seder, your Ashkenazi Seder?
No, because I never said the Shem Yehud. I don't do the mitzvahs for the sake of Yehud. I do the mitzvahs because God told me to do them.
93 stones?
No. Why would I say Hashem Yehud? What does Hashem Yehud mean? I am doing this for the unification of God's name. I'm not. I'm doing it because God told me to do it. I'm not doing it for any Kabbalistic reasons. I'm doing it because God told me to do it in the Torah. That's why I'm doing it.
So you say this for a say, and you
quote it in Art Scroll, though. It's in Art Scroll Ashkenazi.
Okay, all Art Scroll is doing is quoting what some people say you should say. Well,
but should you say this for a say, and so I say it?
I'm not giving you my logic. I'm giving you the logic of the chief rabbi of Vilna, Rabbi Cheska Landau, what he writes in his response to Not the Yehuda. And that's why he writes, you shouldn't say the Shem Yehud. I present it as though that's what I think. It's not.
You should write in this verse, say,
isn't that the more holistic reason, the more encompassing reason?
I don't know about
being talking about in the spirit and then
I need to sleep.
It's beyond me.
I think the rabbi
needs to sleep. Especially if the baby's
going to
be born tonight.
You don't get tired. So far, so good. We're okay. No, I'm hoping they. What?
In the final weeks?
Yeah, that's why I have a cell phone sitting here. Why do I have a cell phone tonight? Why is this night different than all that? Okay, guys. Okay,
nice.
I'd love to see you guys tomorrow morning.
Do you eat your breasts?
Yes.
Yeah!